This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and I want to welcome you to the new and improved Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast. After many years of interviewing the best and brightest thought leaders around the world on my Sirius XM show, I am excited to now have those interviews available to people around the globe on this podcast. So many people would write us and say, I love what I've been hearing about your interviews with these great people. Where can I access them? I live in this country or that country, or I don't have access to that technology. How can I get the information? Well, I'm so excited now that we are able to offer the information and the interviews free on this podcast. So we want you to sit back and enjoy this message and let me know how you like them. And then do me a favor. If you like them, send a review, write a review and post it. And if you like it, hit like on here and share it and tell everybody you know about it. And then subscribe to this podcast, so you'll get the alerts when we post a new interview episode. Thank you for listening and enjoy the Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast.
Named one of the outstanding five speakers in the world.
Inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame.
Award-winning singer.
Best-selling author.
And now, here's Willie Jolly.
Well, it's a great day, great day, great, 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 great day. This is Dr. Willie Jolly, and I want to welcome you to the Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways show. Whether you're listening on radio or whether you're listening on podcast, I am grateful. I'm grateful. Well, you know, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds, and it's forced upon me. I can't refuse it. I did not seek it. I did not choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but our eternities are wrapped up in it. I'm grateful for this minute, this moment, to be able to be with you. Well, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if you had a young woman who was a interested person in the radio business, and she started at a radio station as a salesperson, and she grew to be the general sales manager. Then she became the manager of the station. Then she became the program director. And then she decided she wanted to have her own station. And bank after bank after bank after bank after bank turned her down, but she refused to give up. And then she finally was able to get the money, started her station, but things got tough and she had to live in her station. She had to make a choice, her home or the station. She chose the station and had to live in the station. And yet she refused to give up and went on to build the largest radio, African-American owned radio network in the world. Today, my friend is here. The one and only Dr. Kathy Hughes is here. You want to stay tuned for this interview because it will inspire you, it will encourage you, and it will uplift you. Well, you know, I start with that 1 minute, God's minute. And you know, if you listen to this show, I make a point every week to take a moment, to give God glory, to give him praise, to thank him for life. Now, I know everybody doesn't believe like I believe, and I'm not trying to convert you or convince you. I'm trying to let you know that I am grateful. I am grateful because God has blessed me so marvelously, and I am so grateful. I have to take a moment to just say thank you. And so every week I take a moment to just thank God for life and strength and health, for friends, for family, for an ability to do what I love to do, And to get paid for it and be able to have a life that allows me to do some of the things I enjoy doing. And so I give God glory. And I know that God's gift to us is life. our gift to God is what we do with our lives. So I say we should do something extraordinary with our lives. And so I'm grateful. Well, I want to thank you all, everyone who has made this the number one self-help show in America. I am grateful for you and made it one of the top five downloaded podcasts in the world. I'm grateful for you and all you do. I encourage you to please continue to tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers that this is a show. We don't talk about anything but success, about overcoming and about encouraging people to live their best lives. And so I want to thank you. And then I want to thank our sponsor, Truist Bank. They've been a great partner. They have made a commitment to our community. They have made a commitment to me. They have made a commitment to families. They made a commitment to helping people become financially literate. And so I want you to go to Truist.com, T-R-U-I-S-T.com, Truist Bank. They are really committed. And when you start with care, you build a different kind of bank, Truist Bank. Well, as I said, I'm honored today to have a dear friend as my guest. Many of you know her story, and I knew her story, but recently I heard an interview where she shared the rest of the story. And I said, I called her, I reached out to her. I said, I got to get you on because you blessed me. I know it'll bless so many others. Well, let me tell you, my special guest is a dear friend of mine, someone who I have known for over 40 years and has had a profound impact on my life. But I'm going to give you a bit about her bio, but then I'm going to let her fill in the blanks. Dr. Kathy Hughes. That's right. I've got her on here today. Dr. Kathy Hughes is a dynamic media pioneer who demonstrates the power of one. One woman, one vision, one company, Urban One. She created Urban One by starting by buying one radio station. And now she is the owner of the largest African-American-owned diversified media corporation in the nation, reaches more than 80% of the African-American market through its subsidiaries. Radio One is an urban market leader with over 55 broadcast radio stations, TV One and Cleo TV, and then two cable networks that are part of a great empire, Reach Media, where she syndicates radio programs. And then she has so many parts to this that I'll let her tell you more. But let me tell you about our life. When I was a new author, I was writing my second book, I called her and said, I want to interview you because the book is about turning setbacks into comebacks. And she was gracious enough to let me interview her. But let me go back even further. When I was in the music business, I recorded my first record. I went to her. She had a station at the corner of 4th and 8th Street. No one else would play my record. I took it to her. She played the record. She encouraged me. And she said, Willie, you can do this. And then when I started speaking, she encouraged me, Willie, you can do this. And when I wrote this book, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback, I went to her and said, I want to interview you. And at that point, she told me the story about the banks turning her down and how she had to keep going. And at that point, she only had a few stations. Well, she now has over 50 stations. She has TV stations, and now she continues to do great things. The School of Communications at Howard University is named after her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my dear friend, someone I am just so grateful to have in my life, the one and only Dr. Kathy Hughes. My sister, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. A couple adjustments. We're over 75 stations now, over 75 stations. And although a lot of people refer to networks as radio or as television stations, actually, we have two networks, TV One and Cleo TV. They're actually networks.
Wow. So
that makes them national. Stations are all local.
Okay, got it.
I like to tease you, as you well know, and say, I've known you ever since you had hair.
That's right. That's right. I had hair.
Right.
Absolutely. In fact, my partner, Joe Mine, and I sang at one of her birthday parties when we record deal with The Deuce, called The Deuce with CBS Records. So she's been intricately involved. Oh, one more thing I must say, that I am honored to be part of the Urban One family. I have a daily syndicated segment on Urban One called Wake Up and Win with Dr. Willie Jolly on the Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell show every day. And I am on this XM radio show right now on this network, on this station, because of Kathy Hughes. They were the ones who put me on radio on XM almost 20 years ago. My sister, you were a young lady in Omaha and you wanted to be in radio. How did you make this happen?
Well, I wasn't a young lady yet. I was a kid. And
wow.
My mother put a transistor radio in layaway for a year because my mother, being a professional musician, she had a group called the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. She was one of the founding members, an 18-piece all-women's orchestra back in the 1930s and 40s. But she had given birth to me, and we had ended up moving to and living in Omaha, Nebraska. And in Omaha, Nebraska, the only radio that was available to its listenership was country and western, as it was called back then. Now it's just called country. I had never heard black music nor black people on the radio, yet I was very familiar with the contribution that African Americans had made to the world of music. My mother researched this high-powered transistor radio, that its handle was in fact the antenna, and it could bring in radio stations around the country. She put it in layaway, and for Christmas, I was 8 years old, she presented me with a transistor radio that changed my life. And I say to young people all the time, sometimes we already know God has already sent us a message at a very early age, sometimes even before we reach puberty, what it is that we are intended to do.
Yes.
But if our receiver is not on, and I've heard you speak about this, if your receiver is not on, you miss the message from above.
That's right.
All right. It's not that God has not been trying to tell you, is that your receiver is not on, so you're not hearing it. You're not. And even sometimes when you're hearing it, you don't understand it. I knew intuitively, I knew instinctively, I knew with every cell in my body that this was my future, that this was what God intended for me to do. And so some of the worst punishment I ever had to endure was about this radio that kept me up all night, not knowing that black men were not allowed to be on the radio, nor women. But back in those days, it was just unheard of. There were no women in radio.
Wow.
They weren't allowed to do news. They weren't allowed to do music. They weren't allowed to do talk. Only men.
You grew up in Omaha. By the way, folks, you should know that her mother not just was the forerunner for the International Sweethearts of Rhythm, but her grandfather. Now, I got to give you this, because her grandfather founded the Piney Woods School in Mississippi, and he was a founder of the first African-American boarding school.
That's still in operation today. So in 1909, my grandfather founded the Piney Woods Country Life School in Piney Woods, Mississippi, a boarding school still in operation to this day, where we do education a little differently. Number one, this school was always based on the premise that we were not concerned whether or not you could afford your education. We were concerned that you wanted your education, that you were worth to receive it, and we would finance it. To this day, no government grants, no government assistance. We depend entirely on contributions and the generosity of those who support us and the school. And the interesting thing is that our president, who's been with us now almost 8 years, went to Harvard, President Barack Obama. He had graduated from Piney Woods. He and his two siblings. These three children came from the south side of Chicago, impoverished, but very, very, very bright They had been referred by their church and their school as someone that's how we get most of our students, is referrals from counselors and ministers and community activists. As I said, you've got to be desirous of changing your life.
That's now, right.
In this day and time, it's not so much an economic consideration as it used to be in yesteryear, because so many of our children come from drug houses.
Wow.
So many of our children come from parents who are not financially strapped. We sometimes have students who arrive with $5,000 worth of diamond studs in their ears.
Wow.
They're as babies, but their parents, their mother has never cooked them a meal. That they grow up in this environment that retards and obliterates their ability to reach their full potential. So it's not just about education at Piney Woods.
Wow.
It's really about the fulfillment of your God-given gift to become that which you are destined to become from birth. And so we do education a little differently. We isolate them. We're on 2,200 acres. A little history, if you don't mind. I know it's women's history.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back because we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Kathy Hughes on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And for sure, your best is yet to come. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to revolutionize your relationship with money? I'm Brian Ford, a financial wellness expert.
And I'm Bright Dixon, an expert in positive psychology. Together, we host Money and Mindset with Bright and Brian, a podcast from Truist Bank that's all about exploring the relationship between your money, your mindset, and your well-being.
Find us wherever you listen to podcasts or truist.com/Money and Mindset Podcast.
This is Dr. Willie Jolly, host of the Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways Show. The smart first step to buying a home is knowing how much you can afford. A Truist mortgage professional can help you understand that in just a few minutes. Connecting with a lender first helps you to be more confident in your search. Truist offers loans that can help you become a homeowner with a low down payment. The best way to find out if you qualify for a low down payment loan is to talk with a Truist mortgage professional. Visit truist.com/mortgage. Truist.com/mortgage to see current rates, to get a sample mortgage payment using their calculator, and find resources to help you buy a home. Talk to a Truist mortgage professional about your loan options. Having that relationship in place can help you find the best financing options available to you. Truist Bank is an equal housing lender. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank. Truist Bank. And we're back. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show and podcast. And I want to encourage everybody to go to winwithwillie.com. Winwithwillie.com for resources to help you win more, to do more, to achieve more, to make a difference in every sector of your life, in your finances, your faith, your family, and your focus. My special guest today is Dr. Kathy Hughes. She is the woman that you have heard about across America. I didn't say earlier that her company was the first African-American company to be traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Come on, somebody. I'm honored to not only be a stockholder, but I'm also honored to be one of those people who jumped on board when I heard about it. And I'm honored and proud of that. Well, she's my dear friend. We've been friends for over 40 years, and she's had a profound impact on my life. Her son, Alfred, he used to come hear me sing when I was in a nightclub. She used to come hear me sing. Okay, you grew up under the tutelage of your mom and your grandfather at Piney Woods School.
Yes.
In Mississippi, and I've been there and I've spoken there. I want to make sure we give people information if they want to be a blessing to that school, where they can go find it and maybe make a donation. Please finish.
But first, I want to give a little Black history, because my grandfather was very close to Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington had discovered something that he tried to share. I mean, at one time, there were nearly 100 Black boarding schools in America, and they were primarily supported by white individuals of means who did not want their servants to have to go home to take care of their own children. So something that was done to hinder or be of service to the white community became a blessing for the African-American community, because these children who were placed in boarding schools, in Black boarding schools, received the best education. So Booker T. Washington had stumbled upon the reality that most states had legislation that allowed you to incorporate. That's how suburbs become entities unto themselves. These suburbs grow, and then they pass legislation, and they become townships, or they become villages, or they become what we call suburbs. But they actually have their own police department. They have their own a board of elected officials. They have their own mayor.
Wow.
And so Booker T. realized that these Black boarding schools, if they incorporated, could become their own entities, could become their own cities. And my grandfather, being a close friend and mentor of such of sorts, of Booker T. Washington, we had at that time about 1,000 acres in Mississippi. The school is now 2,200 acres. But he incorporated Piney Woods. So Piney Woods not only is his own city, Piney Woods not only is a boarding school, but it has its own post office. It has its own zip code. And the best part about this story was that when he incorporated, it empowered him to have his own law enforcement. So the security force at Piney Woods is our police department, which means the Klan could not come on your property, because they were in a jurisdiction where they were not going to be protected by a white legal system, that they would have to, in fact, live by the rules and regulations of that incorporated entity. So Piney Woods has always had its own zip code, and not always, but ever since Booker T. hit my grandfather, unfortunately, so many Black schools, boarding schools, we're now down to 4. There are only 4 left. Largest and the most successful of the boarding schools.
Where can people make a donation if they want to make a donation?
Go online, pineywoods.org. Pineywoodschool.org.
Pineywoods.org. Okay. Yes, exactly. So you had this great legacy, your grandfather, and then he birthed your mother, and your mother had the legacy of the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. And then you and your mom were in Omaha. You were raised in Omaha.
In honor of Women's History Month, allow me to go past my grandfather into my ancestry.
Okay.
If you do not mind.
Of course. Of course.
My great-great-great-grandmother, Charlotta Piles. I always call her Charlotta because I have a niece named in her honor without us even knowing she existed at that time. Ancestry.com wanted to do a project with us, and they wanted to look at a 40-year-old woman, a 50-year-old woman, and a 60-year-old woman. At that time, I was 72. And my staff said, please look at Miss Hughes's history. They're thinking again about my grandfather. Well, once Ancestry.com really dug deep into my history, my legacy, my roots, my DNA, they decided to send — most people don't know that Ancestry.com is headquartered in Salt Lake City, all right, which means it's a Mormon company. It's a entity.
Wow.
And one of the things that's very interesting about the Mormons is they are very heavily research-oriented. They have so many historical artifacts and history and documents dealing with slavery, but also just the history of the United States. They were so blown away that no one knew this story that they sent their head of research, their senior VP of research, came to present me with who I was, from whence I had come. Turns out that my great-great-great-grandmother was second in command to Harriet Tubman. Let's start the story with her being a slave. She was half Native American, half African. 11 children, married to a freedman. A lot of folks do not realize that all Africans did not arrive in the United States as slaves. Many came as skilled craftsmen, and they settled them in the Midwest. Mm. All right, because the Midwest did not have legalized slavery, and they were skilled craftsmen. You know, the fallacy of Governor DeSantis in Florida saying that Black folks should be happy for slavery because we were taught skills that we had to wait 400 years to use. was correct. Right. The reality is the reason this country had skilled craftsmen was because Africans brought those skill sets with them to the United States when they were identified in Africa by the slavers. The slavers brought them and brought them to families in the Midwest. So long story short, here she is, a slave married to a freedman who was never enslaved, but refused to help her take their 11 children to slavery. So she conspired with the owner. The owner had left his plantation and all his slaves to his daughter. His sons took that daughter to court to try to get the slaves back because she told her father that if you leave me your slaves, I am going to free them. So the brothers are fighting with the sister over the slaves and the plantation. And the daughter, that the only girl out of like seven or eight brothers, conspired with my great-great-great-grandmother and helped her facilitate moving all 11, herself and all 11 of her enslaved children out of Kentucky.
Wow.
And when they got to Iowa, there was a large population of freed Africans already. The money that this white woman had literally taken from the cell of the plantation and the runaway with the slaves was stolen. And so they ended up settling in Iowa. My great-great-grandmother hooked up with Harriet Tubman and started, she returned back to the South. She was the opening orator for Frederick Douglass, who wrote her a beautiful poem that was published in his newspaper. Ancestry found all of this. Okay, found
all of this.
They found a letter from Harriet Beecher Stowe to Harriet Tubman that says, the work that you and Charlotta are doing is a mission from God. That this is okay. And so she became second in command because Harriet was blown away that this slave woman could get herself and her 11 children into freedom. But more importantly, she was on her way. She was trying to get her family to Canada, but ended up in Iowa. But more impressively, once she was introduced to Frederick Douglass, and Frederick started using her as his opening orator, she raised $2,500. $1,250 she paid per son-in-law. She had two daughters who had married other slaves and had, in fact, had children. And my grandmother did not want her grandchildren being raised as slaves. So she went back at her own risk. Now, here she is, a runaway slave with $2,500, went to two different plantations, paid the owners $1,250, and brought her son-in-laws back to Iowa. So her grandchildren would have a daddy. So it's very interesting as we talk about my grandfather, who has for decades and decades and decades, and rightfully so, gotten all the accolades for what he had done. But in fact, it was my great-great-grandmother. An interesting thing, my grandmother's oldest daughter had a daughter. Her grandmother became the first PhD in our family.
You've got this history. Greatness in your bloodline. I mean, the DNA that you come from is incredible. So that now makes sense as to how this woman named Dr. Kathy Hughes that we know now is not just a person who has made history, but she continues to do it. We also want to make sure everybody knows that she, when she was at WHUR, Howard University Radio, she started a program called The Quiet Storm. She was the one who came up with this concept that now many stations around the country use, and she has continued to be a trailblazer. We're going to take another quick break for station identification, and then we're going to talk about how she was able to not only get the money to buy her first station, but then what that decision of station or house, and how she made that decision and how it changed the world. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and I got an email from a gentleman in Australia who shared how he had been struggling in his business, and he bought some of my books and audios, and how it had a profound impact on his business, and he went from worst to first in his company. I shared with him how much I appreciated his note, but I told him those books, those audios, those videos were not just something that I just thought up one day and started to write. They were born out of my experiences, out of the challenges of overcoming the problems and the difficulties and how I was able to do it. And I shared with him that others have sent similar messages and that these resources work. I want to encourage you and invite you to go to my store. Go to wjspeaks.com/shop. wjspeaks.com/shop. Get some of the books. It only takes a minute to change your life. Or a setback is a setup for a comeback. Or turn setbacks into greenbacks. Or chicken soup for the soul. Or an attitude of excellence. Or the book I wrote with my wife after 34 years of being married and not having an argument in over 30 years. We wrote a book called Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last. And now it is saving marriages all over the globe. Go to the store. Get some of the audios, the videos, the books, the resources to help you have greater personal and professional success. This is Dr. Willie Jolly. Make this a great day on purpose. And we're back. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And yes, it is true. For those who are just joining us, I have as my special guest, Dr. Kathy Hughes. Oh my God, she's just a world changer. That's what I call her. But before we go back into the interview, I want to make sure I take a moment to give some love to our sponsor, Truist. And for those who know about life and being successful and wealth generation, it starts with home ownership. And Truist Bank has made a commitment to making sure that more people can get homes with a low down payment loan. The best way to find out if you qualify for a low down payment loan is to talk with a Truist mortgage professional. Visit truist.com/mortgage, truist.com/mortgage to see current rates, get a sample mortgage payment, you find the best financing options available to you. Truist Bank is an equal housing lender. When you start with care, you build a different kind of bank. Truist Bank. My special guest is Dr. Kathy Hughes. We can go on and read all the accolades, the fact that she is now has the School of Communication at Howard University named after her. She has won every award there is. She has been inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Broadcasting Hall of Fame. The naming of a Kathy Hughes Boulevard in her hometown of Omaha. She is the Lowry Mays Excellence in Broadcasting Award winner, the Phoenix Award. I mean, just one after another. And you know what? She deserves everyone because of what she went through to get here. It wasn't by chance or happenstance that she got here. She got here because she did the work. One of the things that I wrote about in my book, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback, is that bank after bank after bank after bank turned her down. And she refused to give up. And then when she finally got her first station, was finally able to get the money, it was tough. She had to make the sales call. She was on the radio doing morning show. She was doing the morning show every morning. She was selling advertising in the afternoon. And it came to a point where the money was tight. She had to make a decision. Do I live in the house or do I give up the station? Please go tell us about that story, Dr. Hughes.
It wasn't a hard decision to make because I knew that I was on a mission, very much like my great-great-great-grandmother. And like so many individuals that have gone before us that are present right now with us like you. You knew once you found your niche that that's what God had intended for you to do. You feel it.
Absolutely.
You live it. Okay. Yes. It becomes part of your DNA. You understand that this is what God intends for me to do. And when you accept that, then it's not hard to give up your home and sleep in a sleeping bag in the radio station, because you know it's only temporary, that God has a plan, that my receiver was on.
Amen.
Started with that little transistor radio. That receiver was on full blast, high volume, when at 17 years old, I was informed that I was going to be a mother. And I very innocently said to this doctor, the last time that I had a male doctor, because of insensitivity towards me. I sought out over the years, because now it's easy to find a woman doctor. Back then, it was not that easy, particularly not in a place like Omaha, Nebraska. He laughed at me. I said, I've only had sex one time. He burst out laughing. He thought it was the funniest thing he had ever heard. He said, well, in case you don't know, it only takes one time. Okay. And really ridiculed me for understanding how I could possibly be pregnant. My mother taught me a lot about life. My mother did not teach me about how you became a mother. I certainly was not aware that one time, you know, I was just trying to experiment being fast at 17. You know, so often when you're bright, you have to learn that you don't know everything. You have to learn how dumb you really are. When you're smart, and you're a teenager, you think you know everything about everything there is to know about everything. And I had to learn that lesson in a very hard way, that there was so much more. And now I just thank God anytime I come across new knowledge, new experiences, new opportunities to grow and learn. But when
let's make a point. One point, Dr. Hughes, that baby boy who you raised by yourself is now the CEO of Urban One, Alfred Liggins. And one of the things I'm so inspired by you, not only did you educate yourself, educate him, but then you sent him to Wharton to create a real generational wealth experience. And I thought that was so wise of you.
Not true. Okay.
Okay.
Let me put a little meat on that skeleton.
Alfred please.
And thank God for a name, Larry Bailey, who had graduated from the Wharton Graduate School of Business, who happened to have been the chairman of the admissions committee at Wharton.
Wow.
Conspired with Alfred. Alfred went to him and said, listen, you're our business manager. Larry has been with us since the inception. All right. Back when I couldn't afford Larry was still, creating my financial system for my company. And he said, I need an MBA. And Larry said, well, you got a problem because you didn't get an undergrad. Okay. My son had been through his first successful year of completion at Wharton before I became aware that he was even going to Wharton. I was terrified.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. He was not returning my calls in the evenings. He was driving to Philadelphia three nights a week and all day on Saturday. There were these big blocks, and my son's working for me at that time as a salesman and a sales manager. He had already gone through the ranks of sales and now was a sales manager. But he's disappearing. And needless to say, when it's just you and your kid, you and your child, you're like, why are there these big blocks? And he kept saying, I've got something important to share with you, mother, but I can't share it with you just yet. I was terrified. Is he dying? Has he gotten in trouble? What in the world is going on that my child does not return my calls? There's these blocks of time where he's just missing. So Larry Bailey, thank you, God, for Larry Bailey, as the admissions person for Wharton, admissions chairman of the board at Wharton, had convinced them that he had observed Alfred for many years and that Alfred already knew a lot of what Wharton was teaching, and to take him, even without an undergrad degree,
Wow.
On a probationary status.
Wow. So,
no, I did not send him to Wharton. He sent himself.
Thank you for making that. And that says a lot about Alfred. That says about a lot about him. That, yes. But that also says about what you put into him and your mother put into him. And so, my God, what a great story. Okay. So you've got to make a choice.
I had to make a choice of either keeping my company alive and using the mortgage money. I have to honestly say thank you, thank you, thank you, dear God, creator of all. In the almost 45 years now of being in business, I have never missed a payroll and I have never had a check bounce.
Wow.
During these days, it was because I was not paying myself. So right. I could not continue to make a mortgage payment on a house. I needed that mortgage money to pay my staff. And that's what I did. I moved into the radio station and slept in a sleeping bag so that I would have the financial resources because I couldn't do them both. I could not maintain. Plus, I didn't have time to go home. Okay.
Right.
And quite frankly, I was so tired at night. I could have slept on a bus. Okay. I could have taken, All right. I gave up my residence. And my radio station became my residence. And Willie, you'd appreciate this. So I was receiving an award and I was introduced as a homeless woman who had gone on to head the largest communications company in America. I took exception with that. Just like I was telling you, it's now 75 stations, not 55. Okay, right, I have this habit. I want people to actually have the accurate information. So when I get up to speak, I said, well, I was introduced as a homeless person, but I don't know where they got that from. Maybe off of Wikipedia. Then I went on to deliver my speech. So afterwards, the person who had introduced me came up to me and she said, so Ms. Hughes, I thank you for the correction, but I thought that I had researched thoroughly and I had read that you slept in the radio station in a sleeping bag on the floor. I said, that's correct. She said, and you washed up in the public bathroom before your staff came to work. I said, that's correct. And you had to eat all your meals out because you had no kitchen to prepare food and you had very limited storage space for clothes or anything. So you basically lived out of a suitcase. And I said, all of that is correct. She said, well, Miss Hughes, I don't want to shock you, but that's the definition of being homeless. Oh, my God. That was the first time I didn't realize that I had been homeless. I was so focused on making my business a success. I was so focused on not losing my business. I was so focused on never bouncing a paycheck. Because at that point, at one time, you may remember these days, at one time, I ran my entire company with 14 people, including myself, me and 13 others. Radio is 24/7. So I had 24/7, 7 days a week, payroll that I had to meet. And so I gave up everything that had to do. I gave up my car. I stood in my window and watched them repossess my car. So it was kind of convenient living and sleeping in the radio station because I didn't have to get to work. I was at work 24/7. And so, you know, I say to aspiring entrepreneurs all the time, you got to be willing to give up everything. And I use Dr. King as the example. Dr. King was willing to give up his life. Jesus gave up his life. You've got to be committed to the point where take my life, because I realized that the story afterwards is going to inspire people. I was willing to give up my car, my house, my privacy. I'm washing up in a public bathroom. But I had never seen it as being homeless. I had seen myself as being focused on building a successful business and not disappointing the 13 other individuals who were kind of looking at me with, you know, one eye cocked open, saying, cocked closed, saying, I wonder if, you know, she's going to be able to pull this off. But they stuck with me.
Right.
Okay. They believed in me. They stayed there. And, you know, now in hindsight, many decades later, you know, three of them are still with me. And all three of them have said the same thing. They said, each time that back in those days, I wrote checks out and would give them to them on Friday. They said they would rush to the bank because they wondered whether or not it would clear. But never once did it not clear. And never once have I bounced a check, and never once have I missed a payroll. But did I miss the comforts of a bed for 18 months? Yes. Did I miss being able to take a daily shower or bath? Yes, I did. I missed that. But I went to a friend's house, people, all the time. And sometimes those who really love us and care for us give us the worst advice.
Yes.
So I'm going to this girlfriend's house who had moved to D.C.
Hold this thought. Hold on. Okay. I want to finish that thought. We're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And for sure, the best is yet to come. We'll be right back with my special guest, Dr. Kathy Hughes.
Friendship is not about being...
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and people often ask, how did I go from a broke, busted nightclub singer to become a best-selling author and to be voted one of the outstanding five speakers in the world by the 175,000 members of Toastmasters International? The answer is that I decided to invest and change my thinking, invest in my mindset, and decided to change my inputs because inputs determine outputs. I heard about a seminar years ago when I was just getting started. I was making about $100 a speech. And I heard this seminar that was creating millionaires, and it cost $10,000, but the guy was getting results. I didn't have that kind of money, but I decided to borrow it because I learned that there's a price for success, the price of college, the price of going to school, the price of education. There's a price for success, and then there's a cost for not paying the price, the cost of staying the same. And that cost is greater than the price. It's too expensive. And so I went, and it changed my life. And I came back and quickly made $100,000. I heard a similar story from Dr. Dave Martin, how he went to a success rally, heard a speaker who inspired him. He and his friend said, wow, that changed my life. The speaker had a package of materials to help build wealth. The package cost $1,500. And that was all the money Dr. Dave had to his name. Dr. Dave's friend asked, do you think this stuff is worth it? Dr. Dave thought for a moment. He said, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. But I do know that I'm worth it. I'm worth it. He invested that money in that package and used the materials to grow his thinking. He grew his mindset. He shared how that $1,500 investment has gone on to generate millions in revenues. He's a multimillionaire. And he has homes now in Arizona and Florida. I want to say to you, it's time to invest in you. I want to give you some materials that will help you grow you, grow your mindset, grow your future, grow your finances. Go to wjspeaks.com/billionaire. wjspeaks.com/billionaire to get some materials that will inspire your success and help you find that there's a price for success, but there's a cost for not paying the price. And the cost is always greater than the price. Go to wjspeaks.com/billionaire and get the bag, the box, or any of the materials there and keep growing your wealth. And remember, as a man thinketh, so as he is, and your best is yet to come. And we're back with Dr. Willie Jolly and the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And my special guest, the one and only, Dr. Kathy Hughes. What a life. What a story. Living in her station, giving up her house, letting her car be repossessed, living in a sleeping bag in the station, washing up in the bathroom of the public bathroom in the station, not bouncing one check and never missing payroll. This is a story that entrepreneurs need to hear. She's about to tell us of one more part. And then I'm going to ask you, Dr. Hughes, what a question I ask every guest. If we were to go to Howard University over to the school where your name is there, and we went to a class of young people, I want you to give them some guidance. Okay, please tell us the rest of that story.
So every other day, I'm going to a friend's house to take a bath. And I do not realize that she's telling my mother that there was no way in the world that I could continue being obsessed with making this company a success. I could not continue to not pay myself because I did not want any of my staff ever to be disappointed and not to receive a paycheck or a paycheck that would clear the bank. She meant well. So my mother sent me $5,000 with a note that said, this is for you to put a bathroom in that radio station. That's a private bathroom for yourself and a stove. And so with that $5,000, I met a gentleman who used to listen to me on the radio who was a contractor. He came in, installed a full kitchen, and he put in a working bathroom. What she did not realize was that without a car, it was convenient. It was not comfortable, but it was convenient. Yes. And people go into business when you're trying to build something. The most important thing I've built is not my company. It's the individuals that I've built. It's my son whose life I helped build. When you are starting a business, you can't go out and buy yourself a new car. You can't go out and buy yourself a new wardrobe, justifying it as I got to look the role. I got to, you know, be presentable. As long as you are clean, you are presentable.
Yes.
A woman named Roberta gave me my first really business attire. This was when I was going to all those banks. So it didn't faze them. They didn't say, oh, what a beautiful suit you have on. I'm going to give you a loan. They said no and didn't even comment on the suit. But there have been angels that God has put in my life over the years. And that's what I've tried to do to other individuals like yourself early in your career. I tried to be an angel.
That's
I picked your music when nobody else would. I pushed your book because that's what people had done for me. If each one will help one, if you help somebody else, I never thought that God would reward me with being the largest Black-owned media company in the United States. Sometimes I had to really pitch myself, like when we went public and a group of Black women assembled around me saying, you're the first Black woman ever to chair a publicly held corporation. But it was my son who took us public. That's the first thing he did after he got his MBA from Wharton. I went into shock. I went into the bathroom and started regurgitating like I was pregnant. That's how nervous I was and how in awe I was of the power of God. Never would I have thought that I'd be at NASDAQ Stock Exchange. None of that did I ever dream about. None of that did I ever plan. But I kept sacrificing myself to help other individuals. And God said, job well done.
Job well done. Absolutely. Okay, Dr. Hughes, you are in D.C. You and I together, we go to eat lunch somewhere. And so we go to a Black-owned restaurant and we support them. And then we go over to Howard. We go into a business class and we got some young wannabes. I want to be successful like you. Tell them a few you got us. If you're going to be successful, here are the things you got
to
do.
First of all, you've got to believe in a power greater than yourself before you can have total confidence in yourself.
That's right.
But you have to acknowledge that you didn't get here on your own, that it is a miracle. There's a book by Og Mandino, I'm sure you've read, called The Greatest Miracle.
He was my dear friend.
Og Mandino wrote a book that tells you exactly about who you are, how many veins and arteries you have, how much blood, and identifies you as God's greatest miracle. And did this body, this mind, this heart, your lungs, all these parts are covered in this book. When you realize, if you turn it over to God, when my son purchased $1.3 billion in assets, from what was called Clear Channel then. It was the first time any Black entrepreneur ever in the history of Black people being in this country had ever purchased over $1 billion in assets from a white corporation. First time that had ever been done. That was God working in his life now because he had awakened one day and realized that he wasn't going to go too far without the proper credentials.
What else would you tell these young entrepreneurs?
Honesty is the best policy, all right? You cannot cheat. You cannot lie. You cannot try to get over on somebody. There is God
be straight up
a law of karma. So I learned early on in my career something that I share with entrepreneurs. Sometimes I was not able to pay all of my bills, but I sent a payment. Sometimes we're not just in business, but sometimes in life, we owe somebody some money. We stop taking their calls. We stop communicating with them. That you have to be, you have to create a comfort level with anybody that you owe money to. And in business, if you're going to grow, you're going to owe somebody some money.
That's right.
Okay. It's a Truist Bank. All right.
Yep.
They're not sponsoring this program just out of goodwill, although goodwill has a lot to do with it, or they wouldn't be sponsoring it. But they're really looking for potential opportunities for them to make some money with some entrepreneurs listening to you.
That's right.
So learned early on that you be honest with the folks that you loan money to. Again, this honesty thing is so important. Mm. On the weeks that I might not have had all of my payroll in the bank yet, I was honest with my employees and I said, you may not want to deposit your check until Monday because I'm scheduled to pick up the rest of the money on Saturday. All right. It'll be in the bank on Monday, but it's not there on Friday, although I'm giving you your check. Cash it on Monday. You have to be honest with the people that you owe money to. You must tell them, I'm short or I'm not able. But also show them good faith. If owe somebody $1,000 and you only got $100, give them the $100. Don't convince yourself, well, I got to wait on the other $9. And okay, they're going to be strange if I just send them $100. I used to send some of the people I owe money to in my early days of being in business 10% of what I actually, that my payment should have been, they would send it back. They said, oh, we're going to let this accrue. We're going to stick this, what you owe us, on the back end of this loan, okay? Because we're not going to process a check for $100. It costs us, the check should have been for $1,000, but we're going to take that $1,000 and put it on the back side of the loan. And guess what? They never, ever foreclosed on me. They saw my sincerity.
They saw you trying. I love that. I love that, folks. Did y'all hear that? That's a pearl. At least send them something. Let them know you are serious and you got integrity. They might say, okay, we see you're serious. We'll put the money on the back, but we won't foreclose on you because we know you're serious. Okay, you got to have integrity. First, you got to love God. You got to love yourself, love people. You know, I tell people in my messages, Jesus told us to do two things, love God, love people. You got to do those two things and everything else will work. So you do those three, then you got integrity. And then one last thing, what do you would tell a young entrepreneur? Give me one more last thing, Ms. H.
You don't go into business to go on vacation. You've got to, be to do it. Okay.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
All right. That's not why you go into business. It is not to go on vacation. You have to be willing. Winston Churchill said it best. It is not enough for you to do your very best. You must do what is required of the situation. Ooh. And sometimes that's far bigger than your best. Wow. You have to be willing to do whatever is necessary to live up to your obligations. And I think that that's the most important thing. So often, you know, I'll see entrepreneurs that, you know, have come to me for advice and they'll send me hello from Hawaii. I still am looking forward. I've never been to Hawaii.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. For those first 20 some plus years before Alfred had graduated from Wharton, had taken us public, had grown into the responsibility of the leadership of our company.
Yes.
I was scared to leave D.C. I was scared not to live in close proximity. I got spoiled living in the radio station 24/7. I was on top of my job. And so I have always lived close proximity to where my business is located. Because quite frankly, like I said, you can't go into business to go on vacation.
Wow.
Okay. You have to go into business being willing to sacrifice all of your pleasure points, all of yours. You have got to, and that's one of the things that broke up my marriage, although Dewey Hughes and I are still very close, very good friends.
Yes.
But I didn't have any time to be married.
Mm.
The priority was first my son, and then secondly, my business.
Yes.
And, you know, after the courtship, and we were together for about 18 months before the opportunity to buy WOL, our first station, came about.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he no longer had meals. He no longer had conversation. He no longer had a wife who was at home. I was at the radio station within walking distance. I had grown from, thanks to him, from having to live in the station to actually living in a house. That's the reason I love the story of you and your wife. You must both be on the same page.
On the same page. Absolutely.
A balancing act that will only be temporary. The sacrifice you make is only, it's not permanent. This not too permanent. Shall pass away.
Amen. This too shall pass. Ladies and gentlemen, what a joy. What an honor for me to have my dear friend, Dr. Kathy Hughes, as my guest today. Thank you, Dr. Hughes. You have blessed us with your historical analysis, your input, your insight, and your encouragement. You know, I love you. Encouragement.
I love you. And I can't tell you how proud I am. You're one of the success stories that I brag about all the time. I want to say that the thing that I love most about you, that I admire most about you, is that you understood your mission was not for your own fulfillment, but to inspire and motivate others to fulfill and live up to their full potential of greatness. I thank you for what you have done. You have used your life and your career to inspire others. I did not set out to do that. That was your goal. You've always had God in your life, and you realized that your mission was to inspire others to their full potential of greatness. And I thank you, and I pray for you also, Willie. You've dedicated your entire life to that. You're still, and now you and your wife, such an incredible example. Both of you on the same page, and you use your God-given talent and your lives to help others. And then God rewards you because you have helped others. You have loved others more than you have loved yourself. That's the story of true spirituality. God loves us far more than it's possible for us to love ourselves. God uses us in much greater ways than it's possible for us to use ourselves. And you are a classic example. And I'm just glad that God placed me in your life and you in my life. It's been a wonderful journey, and I hope it continues at least for another 50 years.
May God bless you with many, many more years, because your best is still yet to come.
And in closing, can I encourage people to please go online, Piney Woods School. That's all you got to put in, all the information to come up. Please be part of our efforts to provide education, motivation to our future leadership.
Thank you again for taking the time. I know your schedule is busy, and I want to thank your team. And folks, I want to thank all of you for listening today. I know you were blessed like I was blessed. I want to thank Truist for the consistent support, and I want to thank God for another day. The best is yet to come. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show and Podcast. And for sure, your best is yet to come. God bless you. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and I hope you got something of great value. And I hope that you were inspired, you were motivated, you were empowered, and you were encouraged to live your best life. I hope this information and this inspiration will help you to do more, be more, and to achieve more. That's the goal why I started this program, and I hope it helped you in a mighty way. Now, I ask you to make sure and that you take full advantage of all the resources that came through this program. I hope you go to wjspeaks.com/gift and get some of the free resources that we have there for you. I hope you go to wjspeaks.com/shop. to get some of the books that we have created, that we've labored over to make sure that they will deliver a powerful message to you. I hope you go to williejolly.com/billionaire, williejolly.com/billionaire, or wjspeaks.com/billionaire to get the box that it will inspire your whole family, or get the bag of books. Make this a great day, a great week, a great month. And remember, it is true that you are blessed and all things are possible for them that believe. So make the most of the belief that you have now in your future. This is Dr. Willie Jolly. Have a great day.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.